The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Along with my good friend Michael Coleman, he's the CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We do a show called Mission Minded. Keep in mind your mission on your mind. Make sure you look up Mission Minded. There are a couple of other Mission Minded, I think, podcasts out there. Make sure you put Michael Coleman or HAFB, hashtag that on there, and it'll come right up for you here on the Tony Curry Radio Network and, of course, our podcast network. You and I usually have an idea where we want to kind of go, and I kind of usually pull up the word business and just go look under some news and see some things. And I've seen a couple of interesting things that kind of piqued my interest today that I kind of wanted to throw your way and see what your thoughts were. First of all, applications are surging. Small Business Administration reports significant growth in loan approvals. Loan approvals, not loan applications, but loan approvals up 74%. Over Joe Biden's first 90 days of his administration, as opposed to Donald Trump's administration. Donald, of course, all about small businesses. About 98% of American manufacturers are deemed small businesses and collectively employ 4.8 million U.S. workers. And because of that, the 7A business loan, which offers entrepreneurs the opportunity to buy real estate, purchase machinery, and obtain furniture supplies, guarantees up to 85%. Of 7A loans of $150,000 or less, or up to 75% of loans above $150,000, which I was not aware of. I got an SBA loan during COVID for $7,500 just because I had a couple of employees. I was not aware that I could go get a bigger loan under that. When I see 85% of loans under 150 grand, that's pretty impressive. I wasn't aware that that was even something that was out there. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I'm not either. But I will tell you, that's typically, just like you mentioned, in the Trump administration, it's going to start from the top down, just like at a corporate level. It's going to be the priorities of the leader. So when a president comes in that's pro-business, then that's going to permeate down through the people that he puts in his cabinet levels and ultimately the person over Small Business Administration. And that gets philosophically into discussions between Democrats and Republicans generally. This doesn't apply to everybody. But like usually when Biden came in, the very first thing he did was shut down that oil pipeline. Mm-hmm. And that they had gone back and forth. They had approved it. They said, hey, yeah, this can do it. No, he shut it down. Well, one of the first things that Trump did was, and I just saw this, that he's opened up deep sea drilling, and it's the whole drill, baby, drill. And you just have competing interests. But just as a whole, Republicans tend to be more business friendly. So that's not too surprising. That now it is a little surprising in the era of DOGE and some of the cuts that other agencies, you would think that some of those would be tougher to get by, tougher to come by, or at least the restrictions to get approval would be maybe tightened a little bit. Because, you know, I actually know a person who got a small business loan that was a large amount, and the business folded. They got it back during COVID, and it was significant. Let's just say it was significant. It's a trucking business. Mm-hmm. A lot of debt, let's just say in the millions.
Okay.
And, they weren't able to make it go, when they came out of COVID, same demands were not there for transportation is always a demand, but the same prices you could get. Then you have particular retailers who are your primary business. They go out, you know, things that are outside of necessarily sometimes a business person's control. And now the Small Business Administration has just bought themselves a trucking company because those assets go back to there.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of risk. But as a whole, I like what government to me is supposed to be doing in that case is really encouraging people to go into areas that are filling voids that normal businesses are not. Either it's too risky. Like if you have, for instance, let's take a trucking company. You know, if We need to strengthen the trucking industry, for instance. You know, I've got no problem with the Small Business Administration taking a chance, you know, a calculated risk on somebody starting a new business. No, it's not going to always work out. And yeah, we're going to lose some dollars there. But sometimes when you're talking about a startup, you're going to need the strength of government dollars and support to kind of get them going, not just to fulfill the entrepreneur's dreams, but they're fulfilling a need in society, a gap in society, that without them coming along and giving them a boost, it may not be there. Now, some people may look back at that and go, oh, well, I see you're favoring some over the others. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to give it to me. I want to start a record label, for instance, and you're not going to give me versus that. So, but that all has to do with the people who make the decisions. And that's going to change from administration to administration because the priorities of the individual serving in the office, you know, it's like, okay, the country elected this person. I get half the country. I mean, we're split down the middle, but right now they elected Trump. So Trump's priorities and what he wants to find in business, I'm sure, has been filtered down. The small business administrator who's over at the SBA, I'm sure, is putting that down to staff. This is what we're going to prioritize. This is what we're not. And evidently, the evidence is, at least so far, that they're all about, let's get some business going.
If you're starting a business, a small business, why wouldn't you apply for a loan, even if you don't need it? I mean, it's going to be a very low interest rate. It's going to be over the course of your life. You could probably pay it back over 30, 40 years. Why wouldn't you just want to have that added notion of, hey, unless I got a $200,000 if it's a good business idea? What I mean, because I mean, most people I know, you know, I've had friends of mine open. I had a friend of mine open a brewery, and he raised $1 million by himself to open up a brewery. And it took him 3 years. And he was closed in six weeks. It's like, you got a share for $1,000 and he raised $1 million and it was gone in 6 weeks. And unfortunately it was right during COVID when he needed to open up and it just fell apart. But why wouldn't you, I mean, if the money's there.
Well, part of the issue is the, administrative requirements are huge. So like, for instance, let's say I can raise $1 million. So let's say that guy was me. I want to do a brewery. Maybe I make my own beer. So I think, hey, I'm going to open up my own brewery. I got my own recipes. I go out and get investors, or I use my own money or whatever. So guess what? I'm in charge of this thing. I can turn left when I want to. I can turn right when I want to. You say, well, I tell you what, let me try to protect my investment by getting some backing. It's like a VA loan. You know, mm-hmm. They don't cover the whole cost of a house, but they're gonna cover a lot of it. So a bank tends to be more open to a VA loan. But with an SBA loan, you have to present a business plan to them.
Yeah.
You have to talk about all your finances. You have to turn over all your investors. They look through it with a fine tooth comb. Because I had looked at the same thing, even though I had a small boutique, and I was like, well, let me look at define it. And the amount of work, it was like, it's not worth it. And then the reporting oversight that they have, which we want that. We want accountability, but it's typical government. It's overkill. It's burdensome. And so a lot of people go, because then they actually can make decisions for you, that they can look at your plan and say, no, there's huge gaps here. Like, for instance, if that person you just referenced, if they had to go to the SBA, it's very likely that they would have said, hey, let me see your business plan. And they could have poked hole. They could have seen the closure coming.
Yeah.
But when you just go into it, so many people have this idea of, okay, I have this. So let's say I have a recipe and I make beer at home, and people say, man, this is great. You got to open up your own brewery. So you fall in love with that idea when you don't know squat about running a business or the bigger picture, like logistics and distribution and startup cost and all of that. If you go to a good way to look at this is, I just saw, matter of fact, I was reading this yesterday, and I was a little disappointed by this. the average McDonald's franchisee makes between $75,000 and $150,000 a year profit. Wow. I would have thought it would have been, I would have thought it'd been much higher.
Wow.
But when you go into, and that's probably,
that's per store, correct?
That's per store.
So that's labor cost. So that's why you have some people that own three or four franchises, I guess. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. You, the more you get, the more, but of course you get all the headaches along with that labor and everything else, and labor costs continue, inflation continues. So that, I'm sure that's shrinking some of that. But part of it is when you go into not just McDonald's or any franchise, they will tell you, okay, your profit may be this, but you have to have $400,000 or $500,000. I think McDonald's is like $1.5 million of liquid access,
capital
assets. Yeah. Yeah. So you can't say, oh, well, I've got it. They're all tied up in this investment over here. No, no, no. You've got to show it that you can pull out $1.4 million of cash at any time just to start the franchise. And it's because they know that when you're, lots of times you get a build, you have to build a building from scratch, or you have to renovate a building, or you're going to have to replace all the stoves. And so before you can ever make it successful, you're going to have to invest a lot of capital. And you can't get into a business if you're like, okay, here's my franchise fee. Now I've got $5,000 left. No, you've got to, before you get any money, you're going to be paying, making payroll, all the other kind of stuff. So that's exactly what the SBA does, is they make it harder. But in this case, I think it's wise, because lots of times when you, they deny them and somebody goes, oh, I can't do it, I couldn't get an SBA loan, it's really saving them from future hardships and collapse, because lots of times the SBA goes, we can look at your business plan and it's got huge gaps. We can already tell you, you may have the best work ethic in the world. You may have the best beer recipe in the world, but until you answer these questions, we can't support it because it is doomed to failure.
Yeah. He's Michael Coleman, CEO of the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. We also do a show called Bite by Bite, which airs right after this on the podcast network of Tony Kerr radio stations. And that's specific to the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. So we'll get to that next. This is Mission Minded. Where, as a business owner, I don't feel particularly good about the direction of this country. I guess I'm a little surprised, because I thought Donald Trump was going to be that guy who was going to do whatever it took to make as many millionaire and billionaires as he possibly could do, was going to cut all this red tape and just let people just, it's going to be the Wild West of ownership. And we're seeing that, at least when it comes to loan applications being approved through the SBA. Now it appears that he's doing something that sounds like something we should have done 30 years ago, and that is starting to correct our trade deficits through tariffs. And while it may be something that bodes well for us in 10 or 15 years, it's not something you're going to flip in one administration. And so people are freaking out. We're saying, what, the market's up 600, it's down 600. And thank goodness we're at 30 or 40,000 or whatever. We can have a day where we lose 10,000 and we're going to be all right. We're losing trillions and trillions of dollars. But it's not like we're hovering around 3,000 like we were 7 or 8 years ago. And so, we're strong enough, it's like Uber. I mean, it loses $3 billion a year, but it's big enough and strong enough that it's going to be okay. Should businesses been freaking out right now? I mean, I got people asking, and I've talked to you about this invention idea I've got in mind, and I've had several people say, what about the tariffs? How is that affecting if you're going to have something that is going to be built outside the United States? Are you prepared to pay an extra 30 or 40 or 50% more? And I thought, wow, I didn't even think about that, because the number I got was based off numbers from 2 or 3 years ago. How much does that go into play when you're talking about starting a small business? And are we knee-jerking here, or is – I mean, Donald Trump, he's been backing off things too. I mean, so who knows?
So I think Donald Trump has made a calculation, in part because he doesn't have to face reelection. And so he knows he can afford to stand the heat, because I do think he there's been interviews of him going back 20, 25 years, back in the 90s, talking about this very same thing. He's been very consistent. Mm-hmm. Now, most people, I would say most people don't believe that. They think free trade means, hey, you know, no tariffs, and it gets our products in. But the reality is, this is, in some cases, like with China, you can't get access to the markets. Kevin Leary is on Shark Tank, talks about this all the time. He said we ought to put a 400% tariff on and force China to the table because they couldn't withstand, because, you know, we buy more from them than anything else, and we would just shut their processes down. Now, what Trump, I think, is experiencing is he's trying to do something, and he does have a long-term goal, and he even said there could be some short-term pain from that. Mm-hmm. We as a country, though, in this age of automation and in this age of we want it now. Now, this seems like an odd association, but it's very much like our children are. They don't want to wait. They want it now. They want it immediate. And it's because they get video on demand. They don't have to wait to go see a movie. They can just order anytime they want to see a movie.
Yeah.
Those kind of things. They're used to having everything at their fingertips. So we've been trained now to, if we want it, we can get it. We don't care what charge. We don't care what the cost is. But we're doing that. So we don't want to have to suffer pain. If you're going to make a change, fine, but get through it. And so this idea of, you remember the World War II generation? They were like, hey, this is going to be 5-year slog, but it's for the good of the country.
Sure.
If this is good, and I get it, everybody doesn't agree that this is good long term, but let's say for the sake of this argument that we believe that, and we tell them, okay, this could be a period of adjustment that could see some wild swings for several months, maybe a few years. And we're like, no, I don't want to go through the pain right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, because people turn right to the moment. This is what I'm feeling now. I don't like the uncertainty. I don't like this. And look, I'll give you a good example of how often this comes up. Four-star Freightliner is we order a truck about once a year to keep our fleet updated. And so we had ordered a truck last year. It came in, they delivered it yesterday. And so we're all just sitting out there having a talk. We're talking about the maintenance. We're talking about parts and all that. And they, as a company, are talking to other companies that would normally do things along their fleet. Uh-huh. And everything's about the tariffs. And so they're like, well, we don't know whether to upgrade. We're waiting for this the dust to settle because we need to buy some new trucks. Okay, do we just make this truck last another year? Or we don't want to. And so it ends up permeating all of society. And through this instability, you maintain status quo, but people don't do new investments because they're scared of what's going to come. So all that, it does have an effect on the economy in that way. And businesses are concerned, especially if they are international players where they buy a lot of. I'm less concerned I know that like Shein is like the new Amazon.
Temu, yeah.
Temu, yeah. I'm less concerned about, from a consumer standpoint, that consumers are going to be, because most of that they buy are just choices. Mm-hmm. You know, people go look for a dress or look for earrings and they go, oh, you can get 5 of these on Shein for what one cost over here.
Sure.
So they get that. Well, let's say that goes up. I'm less concerned about that because that's just about choices and preferences and all that kind of stuff. But when you get into big business making huge decisions, then that's where it can really hurt us. I think also, though, of all the companies who have said they're coming over here, they're bringing all their manufacturing to the States. So, but you're right, that's going to take years. They come in, they find a location, they build it, you get, you know, people jobs. That's where we, you know, from a national security perspective, we want to be able to grow all our own food, make all of our own products. And that's a little bit unrealistic. We're not going to be able to make everything. But I just said all that to say the instability, when they see the markets fluctuate, we just can't help but panic. But just look at the last couple. So, yeah, we had a couple of big days crash. And I looked at the news and I tried to look at it just as objectively as possible. every day, the sky's falling, sky's falling, sky's falling. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, then now there's been, and I don't know what it's doing today, but the past 3 days, it's been three huge jumps.
Yeah.
And people say, well, why is that? Because it's all about how Trump is playing this. And I think one of the biggest assets Trump has right now is the Treasury Secretary. Bessett, I think. Because what he's doing is he was allowing Trump the wild fluctuations, and the market was going up. But and I'm not a financial person, but behind the scenes there were some other signs. Like I heard them talking about bond yields, and I don't understand all that. But there were some, it was showing that it was more than just the fluctuation in the stock market. It was really having a serious impact. Mm-hmm. And then Trump comes out and goes, well, maybe we'll lower the tariffs.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden that heals itself. So I'm not worried about the market tanking in any one moment, because the history of the market is it's going to come back at some point, you know. But so don't panic about the market. But I think he is talking to Trump. And in the last 3 days, we've seen growth back because Trump has led them to believe, yeah, we're going to have a deal done. Look, I'm going to drop the tariff some, you know, but in the word coming out, it's going to be 50% to 65%, something like that. But it does create all sorts of instability. It puts money on the sidelines rather than in the economy. So people may delay a new truck purchase or expansion of business on and on. So it has that effect. But the bottom line is the underlying things. When you look at the profits, even though when we're going through this, the stock market was fine because the profits are still strong. Mm-hmm. So the underlying current is that the economy is very strong. And Trump's trying to accomplish something over here. The problem is he's got a bunch of people who don't want to experience any pain. They don't want to go through it. They don't look at. And again, I'm saying that as I get it. I'm not a farmer who exports my crop, and I'm looking immediately to feed my family. But I am somebody who's running a nonprofit who's experienced millions of dollars in cuts. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to still be optimistic, again, not to be pro-Trump, but optimistic about America. And hey, hopefully this is in our best interest to get our to become more fiscally responsible, to set the trading where it's more fair to get access to markets, and put some I'm not an isolationist at all, but put a little America first on some things. So structurally, we'll have strength going forward.
Yeah, I do think, and I heard this a couple times yesterday. It's okay to make America great again and make America number one. Just don't be alone while you do it.
Yeah.
I heard that several times. That's fine. You make us number one, you know, make us number one in your heart. Just make sure that we're not alone, because we can't do it alone. And we can certainly see how when other countries can't either, because we know that when our stock market tanks, guess what? China, you're next. We infect the entire world when it comes down to economies and how they tank. So,
and I've never read The Art of the Deal. You know, that's his famous book, The Art of the Deal. But Trump, and another thing that makes us shaky when we hear Trump is dealing with these people like he's always dealt in business as a Manhattan real estate broker. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he's thinking three or four steps ahead. I heard somebody say, matter of fact, the lady on Shark Tank, she's the older lady with the short hair. Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
Yeah, I know you're talking about.
She says she went 30 years ago on a real estate deal because she's a big real estate person. With Donald Trump in the room and some foreign investors came over and was about selling a hotel. He didn't even talk about the hotel. He didn't even mention the hotel in the talk. What he did was he helped them see on this coastline that was right down from the hotel, like it had a bunch of dilapidated buildings. He was helping them see a bigger version. He wasn't trying to sell them on this, but he was trying but they quickly realized bigger thing, and they're going to need the hotel. And so they bought the hotel at a bigger cost. And so sometimes in some things, he's playing chess while the world is responding, is playing checkers and responding out of emotion. But when he talks firm, they're like, why? He's going to make us, he's going to make people hate us. And he's like, no, you don't get it. You don't understand. This is how you do deals. You have to come at it from a tough, that's how he did real estate deals.
He doesn't care about people like him. He wants people, he'd rather people fear us than like us. And that's
fear and respect. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's, and we can throw respect there too, but he wants, I mean,
and we struggle with that because we're not like that. We typically say, I don't want to be.
Well, that's one of the reasons I love being an American. That's one of the reasons I love being the way we are. Cause we do want to be fair for the most part. I think we all want to stand up and go, doggone it. We need to be number one, but then we're like, whoa, we can't be taking money away from our churches now. Now what are you doing? And I know he just did an about face on this women's, research thing that they just withheld like, I don't know, $800 million, and they just flipped that around today and said no, and that thing's been going for like 40 years or something, and it saved $35 billion. Like, whoa, we want to do that, but we want to make sure that, you know, our local YMCA does not shut down. Okay, let's not get crazy. So and eventually it does trickle down. Coming up right after this, Bite by Bite, great show that's specific about the Heart of Alabama Food Bank. If you get any emails, we do email shows once every couple of months. We'll do one next week. As a matter of fact, we'll get several emails here at TonyCurryRadio.net. Check us out, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. We'll do some emails. Michael, thank you so much. Have yourself a wonderful weekend.
You as well, my friend.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.